Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Boom!
Well, what happens if your laptop blows up? Well, you may lose a leg. Okay, all kidding aside, apparently Apple recently had recalled somewhere in the area of millions, or if not a million, batteries that were developed by Sony, and of course this really depressed all two of the people who support Apple on the planet. That being said, there is a company out there that does develop batteries for all sorts of Apple accessories, and even, you know, non-Apple accessories, Newer Technology, and that's a great name, found at newertech.com, and we're speaking with Larry O'Connor, who I guess could tell us a little bit more about what's going on with this situation.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
I'm certainly doing well. Nothing's blowing up, so I'm good.
That is good. You know, the first thing I'll say, Apple, and as well as Dell, although, you know, certainly I give a lot of credit to Apple for doing their recall. They did it a little bit, you know, quicker as they looked into the Sony cell situation, but you know, neither company really can be, you know, blamed for what's happened. I mean, there's some sort of defect with the batteries that Sony has built, and I would also further not classify this, say, that just because it has a Sony cell, it's bad, or that Sony makes bad cells. I mean, there's a problem with these batteries, which Sony built, and you know, the proper action is being taken by doing this recall, regardless of the extremely low risk that you may have a battery that goes up in smoke. Having said that, I do believe that our batteries, the newer tech batteries, which we offer currently for the entire line of iBook and PowerBooks that Apple has sold, provide a better solution to the stock batteries and also a safer solution. Part of the reason that the Sony-built batteries, at least in the Apple space, are an issue has to do with how the batteries have, thermal protection incorporated. A big difference between our batteries and Apple's batteries has to do with the thermofusing. You would expect and hope that every battery is built perfectly. We'll never have a cell failure. You never have a situation involved where a catastrophic event like catching on fire could result. However, the newer tech batteries, just to keep safety at the very tip of the equation, the very front of the equation, should our batteries ever have any sort of thermal event, even a thermal event that's not caused by the battery, I mean, it's just the safety, there's no way to really be able to tell that it's within the battery, outside the battery, whatever. And plus, a thermal event outside the battery could still do damage to the battery, which could affect its performance. So nonetheless, should one of our batteries detect a temperature that's beyond safe limit, our battery has a thermofuse, a one-time thermofuse that cuts out. With that fuse cut out, the battery circuit is broken, and whatever issue that may or may not be in place is certainly isolated and prevented from causing some sort of future failure. In the case of the batteries that Apple's recalled, a thermostat is utilized, at least in the batteries that we make models for. And the difference between our thermofuse and this thermostat, the thermostat will essentially cut the battery, shut the battery down when a temperature exceeding normal operation is detected. But when the temperature returns to normal, that battery begins to function again. If you have a cell or some other defect within the battery that has evolved, or even some physical failure, or has been exposed to a temperature that perhaps cause damage to the battery, unrelated even to the battery's own function. When that allows the battery to return to normal operation, current flows, and if additional damage has been done during the period of thermal overload, you once again will have that cell operating. The cell will heat back up, or potentially heat back under whatever circumstances tripped it in the first place, and that damage can continue to evolve. And at some point, the risk runs, if it is truly a defective, a battery with a significant issue, you run the risk at some point the thermal point being reached where the stat doesn't act fast enough, or perhaps the stat is even rendered somewhat non-effective, and then you end up with a catastrophic event, such as your laptop effectively smoldering and if not bursting into flame, bursting out with smoke.
So you're essentially creating an alternative for people out there who may be stuck without a battery or worried that something is literally going to explode in their hands.
Yeah, well, for over 3 years, nearly 4 years, newer technology has offered high-capacity replacement batteries for the Apple iBook and PowerBook models. You know, our claim to fame has always been offering a top-quality battery, which we produce in far smaller volumes, of course, than Apple, but a top-quality battery that offers longer run times than the original stock batteries. We only recently take a look at the aspect in terms of the differences in how our battery is designed from a safety standpoint versus your Apple stock battery. And there's nothing, again, I can't fault Apple, and I certainly to some degree understand the challenges that Sony faces, any battery manufacturer faces, when they're building a cell in that sort of volume. I mean, we have a real advantage. I mean, unlike somebody has to mass produce millions of batteries a year, our company is able to not only pretest and match every cell that goes into each individual battery, but also pretest in terms of charge discharge cycles every complete battery unit that we manufacture. We work very hard to maintain a very high level of quality, and we're able to do so since we're a far smaller producer. There's significant challenges with producing these things through mass production.
Yeah, but I mean, you couldn't ask for, I mean, not to say this is good news, but I mean, this has got to be really good news for you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's it certainly gives people a little bit of additional exposure to our, I mean, we, again, I've already been known for quite a long time just for the extended runtime that our batteries provide, but certainly this is great exposure in terms of letting people know that our company exists and it's an alternative versus having to wait for a new battery for your laptop. And without a battery in your laptop, it's not really a laptop. So it's, we don't ask for news like this, because certainly, we're very pro-Apple, very pro in terms of this industry. And
oh, sure.
But nonetheless, it certainly has provided a good opportunity for us to talk about our technology and what makes our batteries stand out.
Now, you also do iPod batteries. How does that work? Because I thought the whole thing with the iPod is that you couldn't replace the battery.
Well, initially when Apple introduced the iPod, that was their official word on it, but just because Apple said it like that and Apple didn't have a replacement program did not mean that the batteries weren't replaceable. So actually 2 years ago, our company introduced a full line of Apple iPod batteries. So when your iPod battery is no longer running up to snuff, you could buy a new battery from us, which not only would replace your existing Apple battery, but offer even up to more than twice the runtime capacity that the original Apple provided, whereas Apple quoted less than 10 hours of playtime with the first 1Gs. Our initial first-generation iPod batteries bumped that up to over 16 hours, and then our second-generation, our updated capacity versions for those same computers, I'm sorry, same iPod models, actually increased runtime to over 22 hours. So,
Is that something that you have to install, or do you send a kit to somebody and say, this is how you install it?
We provide installation videos on our website that show people how to install for any first, second, third, or fourth generation iPod model. Mm-hmm. We provide a kit that allows people to do it themselves and includes the tools required for opening the iPod as well as any tool required for inside the iPod and the battery. We also offer for $39 installation turnaround program. They send their iPod out to us with a package and a label that we provide. Within 24 hours, their iPod has the battery replaced, tested, and then overnighted back to them. And within that program, the advantage over sending, I know Apple has a replacement program. I guess our main advantage over the Apple replacement program is that, number one, you get the same iPod back. You don't just get one that's been cycled through. So whatever songs, however you have your iPod configured, you're going to get your same iPod back, and it's just like it was when you sent it out the door. And the second advantage is that we put a battery that runs longer than the original stock battery, whereas with Apple, you will get the same original spec battery that it first shipped with. The newer tech battery installed is whichever capacity you choose, and any of those capacities offers more runtime than your iPod had when it was brand new out of the box.
Now, how are you actually increasing battery life? I mean, with the longevity of the battery, not just increasing its capacity or how much it can store, how much more juice it can give you.
Well, when it comes to the laptop batteries, what makes a very big difference is how the cells are selected for the batteries. First of all, I'd like to say, this is not a slam against Sony, but we've never qualified any of the Sony cell options for our batteries. We use batteries by Panasonic, Sanyo, as well as E1 Moly, which all produce a very high quality level of cells, as well as the higher capacity cells that we're looking for. But, you know, a key part of our manufacturing process includes matching the cells. I don't know if you're ever into RC, but you know, one of the things in as far as for the different model cars or road control cars and other hobby accessories. I remember when I was a kid, were companies that offered 7.2 volt LiCad packs that were matched and ones that weren't, and they charged a lot more for the match, which I never fully understood until got into the battery business myself. And the primary importance of having a properly matched battery pack is that if you have cells that, cells come from the factory with a certain minimum guaranteed rating. In fact, all of our Neurotech cell packs are based on the factory minimum rating. But that's a factory, that factory rating is typically, well under, but it's at the bottom end of a range that those batteries are actually, that the actual individual cells are able to provide. And when we build our Neurotech batteries, we're very careful, in addition to testing the cells for functionality, we test them so that we can put together when it's a 6-cell or 8-cell or 4-cell battery pack. The testing that we do allows us to match the individual cells so when 4 or 6 or 8 are together, they all have effectively the same operational specifications. You know, if they're 10% or 5% over factory spec, all the cells in that battery are within that spec. If you put batteries that may have the same factory rating, but have different, true operational characteristics together, you end up with cells that will charge or discharge at different rates. And when you have a cell that, when you have cells that are next to each other that aren't charging or discharging at the same rate, that's where you start to have problems. That's where you have early failure. Now, while this won't cause a battery to go up in smoke typically, what it does do is reduces the useful life of the battery, because instead of dealing with the charge-discharge cycles, you have cells within the battery that start fighting each other.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
Yeah, that's
because you
got
to separate them and you got to send them to their room without dinner, and it just doesn't make for a very pleasant experience with your battery-driven devices.
Absolutely, and everybody's upset and they stop talking to each other, and all of a sudden you got a battery that just won't work anymore.
Now, Larry, do you have any just general tips on extending battery life? I mean, let's say you're stuck with the battery. I mean, I use IBM ThinkPads. Let's see here. Yeah, that's my laptop's an IBM ThinkPad. It's got IBM stamp right on it. I wish they'd pay me to say that, because I just love their laptops. I have for quite a while.
You got to try a MacBook Pro.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. But I honestly, and to tell you the truth, I might. But I'm waiting until Leopard, the next one that comes out. I'm thinking of waiting until then, just because I'm not that comfortable in leaping into an OS that. It's first generation on the Intel platform. I'm going to wait just a little while, and then I'll go.
Truth be told, though, it's not technically the first generation on the Intel platform. It's the first generation. It's first release generation.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that, and I consider that first generation. I mean, I know they've been testing it, pretty much from day one. But still, that being said, I know throwing it into the field, and I've heard a lot of issues with heat and battery life and everything, and maybe even talking to Neurotech may solve those problems.
Fourth quarter of this year we're having a new battery for the Mac Pros, but in Apple's offense on battery life in the Mac Pros, and by the way, the Mac Pros, none of those systems are affected by this battery recall. They use a completely different battery cell, but where you're looking at battery life on the Mac Pros, and quite frankly you probably have the same issue with that ThinkPad. It just has to do with how much power that dual core Intel sucks down. So
yeah,
I personally use a Mac Pro when I'm on the road, or quite frankly, between home and work.
Well,
and I'm very comfortable with the battery life that the stock Apple provides terms of competitive solutions out there don't even run OS X, and of course you can run Windows, but that's not what we were talking about.
No, my question was, I've got this product that you don't necessarily have a battery for. I mean, what are some general tips that someone could use, anybody could use, using any kind of battery? What do they have to be conscious of?
Well, the most important things are to make sure that it isn't good to have a battery fully charged all the time. Having a battery just sit at full charge within your laptop, you run the risk of that battery, losing its effectiveness. Those cells aren't being worked, and I don't have the technical terminology, but you run the risk of essentially, losing some of the effectiveness of the cells. When you actually go to use it, I'd love to come up with an analogy, an easy way to explain it. I guess it's almost like a spring that has been held compressed for a long period of time. You have a spring that sits there compressed for 6 months, a year, without ever getting use. and all of a sudden, you know, you take the pressure off that spring. It's probably not as springy as it was when it was first, you know, first compressed versus, you know, if you're constantly, you know, it's being charged, you know, the energy's being, you know, absorbed back into the spring, and then it's released as you, you know, use the, use the product, move the product, use the lift, you know, I guess that'd be the analogy. But, you know, certainly make sure, if you have a laptop, you know, hopefully you're using it as a laptop, and using that laptop, you know, one of the best things for a battery is, you know, using it, you know, pretty well to capacity and back again. You know, when you just use 5 or 10 or 20% of a battery, you know, if you're using it for short periods of time and then you're plugging it right back in again, you know, once again, you're not using that battery, you know, to its full extent, and you run the risk of losing some of that cell life because the cells aren't being used. So if you're using your laptop, you know, it's not a bad thing to let that battery, you know, run down, you know, to where you need to charge it versus, you know, I've used it for half an hour, now I'm ready to plug back in. If your battery can go 3 hours, you know, let it run down.
How frequently should you do that, though? How often should you take your battery out for a walk, if you will?
You know, ideally, quite frankly, a typical battery cell will cycle, it's able to handle, you know, between 600 and 900 charge-discharge cycles, you know, with fairly optimal charge levels. I mean, if you can do it, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks, you're doing a lot better than most people with their laptops. So many people today buy laptops, and, you know, they're used once in a great while.
Yeah.
As a laptop. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But nonetheless, you know, maintenance, you know, once a week, twice a week, you can let it, you know, go through a cycle. You're not going to hurt your charge disc cycle, you know, quantity remaining, so to speak. And you're going to definitely help that laptop battery last a lot longer. And again, if you do use it if you do disconnect and need to use it someplace for a few minutes, you know, you're a lot better off if you let that battery, you're going to run it through a cycle anyway. You've already used some of it. Now it's going to have to charge the next time you plug it in. Yeah, keep it unplugged a bit longer. You know, let it run down. You can always keep your performance settings all the way up, especially if you're right near a wall outlet. So, hey, you know, why not?
Okay, so exercise your battery is one thing.
When you get in, that's the biggest thing. The biggest thing is exercise your battery, and the other big thing is if you use the battery, use it to its, use through that capacity. Don't just use it for, you know, don't just run it down to 90% or 80% and plug it right back in right away. You know, that's the biggest killer of batteries when you don't use them again. Just like the spring, you know, you get to a point where that, you know, you have that upper portion that's getting used, but you're not working the cells through and through. And then the other thing with any new battery is very important that you cycle it. That in the very beginning, you do full cycle up, just like when you buy. Quite frankly, not quite the same, a little bit more complicated because, you know, compared to a normal, you know, phone cell, this is the lithium ion, you know, the energy stored in a laptop battery pack is significantly more than what you have in your cell phone or what you have in your wireless phones at home. But even with your cell phone or with, you know, a wireless phone set you might buy in the store, you know, right out of the box they say, before you use the phone, let it charge for 12 hours or overnight. And the reason they say that is, once again, if you buy a new battery, you know, it's not safe or, you know, good for the battery to ship it with a full charge. So very rarely, in fact, you should pretty well never, you know, buy a battery that you get out of the box. You certainly will never get a battery from us out of the box that has a full charge on it. You know, typically, batteries are provided with somewhere between a, you know, 25 and 50% charge load because that's, you know, it's a safe, stable point, you know, to ship the battery. You know, with a full charge, there's going to be greater dissipation. That's just not good on the cells. But, and then getting back to the point, you know, it's very important that you follow those directions, that you'll let that battery, you know, come to full charge. And in the case of a laptop battery, it's actually important to charge it, and discharge it for a few cycles, both to condition the cells, you know, having, you know, sat for any period of time. Plus, it also allows that cell pack to fully sync up with, you know, today's batteries, you know, interface with, you know, they have intelligent interfaces on the battery that interface, I should say, that talk to, intelligent power management systems in the laptops. And by going through the charge discharge cycles, you know, those systems essentially get to know each other, and they get to know each other, you know, in a way that's optimal for the battery versus, you know, short runs, and that's very important for proper battery operation. The absolute worst thing you can ever do to a battery is plug it in and start using it, you know, just right out of the box without first at least fully charging it.
Hmm. Interesting. I got to remember that, 'cause sometimes I get too antsy and I really want to play with it. And I'll just start doing it right away, thinking, oh, it's got enough. So I shouldn't do that.
No, but in the very least, you know, you go ahead and use whatever it is, but plug it in. If it's a if it's a set that doesn't have the option to have external power, let it charge. Because you know, you plug it in right away and start using it, you've just cost yourself some battery runtime.
Wow. Now, is there any kind of utility that could measure the lifetime effectiveness of a battery? So, for instance, how do I know that the battery I've got in my laptop right now is full? It's there, it's going, it's the best peak condition it could possibly be versus 50% capacity. Or, I mean, I'm not talking like 50% full, but not running optimally or the way it was designed to run. How do I know it's dying?
You know, there's various utilities that will sometimes read what the effective capacity of batteries are. I mean, there's not, honestly, short of putting that battery into a, you know, into a real tester, that's difficult to not to do. So I really don't have a good answer for you. I mean, it's, you know, honestly, I mean, you know what the battery, if you know what your battery offered when it was brand new in terms of runtime, and on the Macs, I can't speak for the PCs, you know, we get pretty accurate, you know, gauges that advise, you know, how much runtime is going to be there. And of course, we do testing, too, to see the, you know, the hours of runtime. But, you know, short of, you know, quite frankly, having a good feel for what your system should be doing, that's kind of hard to gauge. Hmm. You know, and also, I guess something else that we found, you know, with any battery, you know, again, you know, doing improper charge-discharge cycles, you know, using it to 80% or 70% and always charging it right back up without, you know, really exercising your battery, you know, something that helps sometimes is conditioning the battery, which, once again, doing those, you know, those deep discharge and recharge cycles can sometimes bring back battery life. You know, we actually are the only company in the Apple space that also makes a external charger solution for Apple batteries, which, in addition to charging the batteries, provides deep conditioning as well. So,
oh wow,
yeah, that's something else certainly that you can do. I don't know, you know, if there's any equivalent on the PC side, but on the Apple side, you have a Mac, and this works out to a lot of schools, a lot of businesses buy our chargers since, you know, they have each of these things, and it saves them a lot of money. I mean, one thing about our company, I, you know, want to kind of put out there, we're not, you know, looking to try to sell you a million batteries. I mean, we hope that, you know, you come and select our battery because it's the best, because it lasts longer. We build our batteries, I mean, we probably kind of like that new gum commercial, I guess. I mean, there's no question that, you know, in some ways we cost ourselves sales because our batteries last longer, but that's, you know, that's our mission. I mean, that's what we want to provide. You know, we want to provide the best possible product, and we also, in the form of those charger conditioners, we also, you know, are out there to provide products that, you know, let us get more use, you know, from a battery that's already in place, already being used. Doesn't do anybody any good, as far as I'm concerned, for these batteries to have to go to disposal.
I agree. But, Larry, it sounds like you got one hell of a product, and the timing for it couldn't be better.
Yeah, it's, I tell you, we built the line up over the last 3 years in terms of, you know, making sure we've got every Apple iBook and every Apple PowerBook G3, G4 model covered. And it was, we're certainly at the right place at the right time with this Apple recall. And again, Apple makes a good product. You know, their specifications are, you know, rock solid, and I should say Apple makes a great product. I mean, we just happen to offer a third-party alternative that, you know, in addition to, you know, now some of the safety issues that have been raised with, you know, Apple's contractor, you know, we also, our main claim to fame has to do with, you know, the longevity, you know, both in terms of useful lifetime and, you know, runtime between charges that our batteries offer.
Very cool. Well, I got to go because my laptop's dying.
Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.